In one New York City nightclub, more money is taken in annually than is given to missions and all the churches of America in the same period. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the Carnival of Death. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Millions of Americans are alarmed over the great burning question of our day, which concerns the danger of mankind destroying himself with his own fearful nuclear weapons. But an even more important issue, to my way of thinking, is whether man will destroy himself by fleshly indulgence and materialism. Now, we live in a society that's satiated with luxury and carnal pleasure. The senses are constantly stimulated by the sights and sounds of an artificial society, a society that's bewitched in a mad carnival of death. Even the most thoughtful person today has an uneasy premonition about the future. How long will God withhold his hand of judgment? Are we actually living close to curtain time for the human race? First of all, let's make it clear that nobody knows the exact time of the coming of Jesus. As our Lord stated himself in Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now, however, friends, the Bible makes it conclusively clear that there would be certain signs of the times indicating that the coming of Jesus was near. Now, what are these signs? Can we see them in the world today? Can we be assured that we're living in the very last days of human history and that soon Jesus will come to fulfill his promise? The disciples of old ask a very similar question, as we find it recorded in Matthew 24:3. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now notice something. In answer to the question of those disciples, Jesus said this, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." So there it is, friends. We see here pictured in the words of Christ an age that will be troubled with turmoil, bloodshed, and war on every side. And I'm not talking about ordinary war. I don't believe Jesus was either. But international conflicts. He said, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." Professor Sorokin of Harvard University said this, "In the 20th century, war has reached a total 8 times greater than in all preceding centuries." End of quotation. Now you think of World War I that startled the world with untold destruction, costing more than $100 billion. But then came World War II, taking 300 million lives and costing our own country alone $1.4 trillion, and destroying hundreds of cities, blasting many of them right off the map. In Germany, just outside the town of Darmstadt, there's a mass grave where 30,000 human beings are buried. And all of them were destroyed in one night of bombing by the Royal Air Force. Practically the entire population of that city was annihilated, sacrificed to appease the god of war. Man today seems to be preparing at a feverish rate for what seems to be the inevitable world war of the future to end all wars. And that would mean the end of this planet, friends. And do you know all of this was predicted in Bible prophecy? In Joel 3, for example, verses 9 and 10, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares unto swords and your pruning hooks unto spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong." And the Bible goes on to predict that during the time of unprecedented war preparation, there would also be great moves for peace. Jeremiah 6:14 reveals that men would cry, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. Pointing to the international confusion as a sign of his coming and the end of the world, Jesus said this in Luke 21, verses 25 to 27, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, friends, truly, this is the day in which we're now living. In Matthew 24:12, Jesus gave another sign. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, this increase of sin or iniquity at the close of human history is elaborated on further by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Now here indeed is an accurate picture of the moral and social conditions of our world today. You think of the crime wave that we see right here in America. Think of the divorce rates, abortion, sexual abuse of children, drug addiction, the AIDS plague. No wonder Alfred Wallace, a famed sociologist, stated this in his book. He said, "It is not too much to say that our whole system of society is rotten from top to bottom, and the social environment as a whole in relation to our possibilities and our claims is the worst the world has ever seen." End of quotation. Yes, iniquity has reached so deeply into the hearts and homes of modern America that children are pushed around like so much dirt to satisfy the immoral passions and whims of godless parents even. Wickedness has so engulfed the world that it seems the devil himself has full control of the minds of men. Yes, this too is further undeniable evidence that the end of this age is near. Christ is soon coming. Now, going back to Matthew 24, we find Jesus still enumerating events to transpire just before he returns. He says in verse 5 and then verse 24, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So in the religious world also, we find signs of the imminent return of Christ. False Christ, false prophets proclaiming a false message of salvation. And all of us have heard these claims, friends. Agents of Satan rising up in these last days, claiming to be the Son of the living God, come back to this earth again. This will really be the climax of all deception, this one last appearance when Satan himself will be transformed into an angel of light, and will appear claiming to be Christ himself returning to the earth. But make no mistake about it, multitudes will follow after and go down to destruction with this originator of all evil. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:5 closes his list of last day signs describing the people this way, "having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." You see, friends, a tremendous increase in the popularity of religion and church membership testifies of a great revival, not of true godliness at all, but of a form of godliness only. In our self-righteous pride, we in America point to atheistic Russia, that godless nation where 70,000 churches have been closed, where the slogan is "Down with Jesus Christ," and where atheism is taught in the schools. We point there. That's true. But what about right here in this country? Are we really any better off? Liberalism and modernism pose in the garb of Christianity. Christians today deny the divinity of Christ, the miracles of Christ, the vicarious death of Jesus. They deny the resurrection and ascension and second coming of Christ, and many even deny the existence of God. Listen to these words of warning in 2 Peter 3:3-4. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" Now, do you get the implication of that question, friends? Groping about in the blindness of his own human conjecturings, man seems to be oblivious to that statement of Jesus, that in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, this form of godliness that seems to grip our modern generation is demonstrated by the fact that in one nightclub alone in New York City, more money is taken in 1 year than all that's given to missions and all the churches in our great nation in that very same period. And think, too, of the 100 million theater tickets that are sold weekly, while only 10% of that total number of people attend church every week. Pointing again to the day in which we live, Jesus made another prediction. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Luke 21:11. Now here's a prophecy of the great natural disasters that today engulf the world, taking their tragic toll of millions of lives every year. An editorial appeared in a large daily newspaper in which the editor made this interesting comment. An appalling series of catastrophes have come upon mankind lately with such suddenness and so many places as to shock even the most cynical into anxious thoughtfulness. Look back over these days, let alone weeks. Scores killed, hundreds maimed, thousands homeless and impoverished. It seems hardly possible to pick up a daily paper or turn the radio on without hearing of some fresh mass disaster. And all this, said the editor, against a sinister background of wars and rumors of wars. End of quotation. Surely, friends, the upheavals of nature through the power of Satan will continue to destroy to a greater degree before the end of our history in this world. Well, another remarkable sign of the coming of Christ is found in Daniel 12, verse 4. It says there that in the last days many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And in all fields of study, physiology, psychology, physics, genetics, medicine, man has made tremendous strides, indicating that this 20th century is indeed the closing hour of history. For generations, yes, for thousands of years, men continued to carry on the activities of life in the same old way. And then suddenly, everything changed. Almost daily announcements of fantastic developments in the field of science no longer shock us. We look back over the history of violence and destruction. We remember how the ancient Chinese invented gunpowder, and for generations man could find no more potent force than that. But then came TNT from nitroglycerin, and this was considered to be a great step forward. Then in 1945 everything changed because we entered the atomic age, and a new source of power was unleashed. Before that, the blockbuster, made up of TNT, had approximately an explosive force equivalent to 6 tons. But the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima was equivalent to 20,000 tons of TNT. But not long after that, the hydrogen bomb, which had to be measured not in kilotons, as was the ordinary bomb, but megatons, a standard of measurement equaling 1 million tons of TNT. It came on the scene. And today the world has such mega weapons that we can hardly even imagine them, and certainly we can't begin to describe them. Well, going back to Daniel's prophecy, friends, he said that not only would knowledge increase in the last days, but that many would run to and fro. And so we've seen travel increase from the horse to the carriage and the iron horse, and then, of course, finally to our tremendous speeds of modern travel. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.